Good morning, church. How's everybody?
Thanking the Lord for keeping me on the greener side of the grass. Praying for world peace.
Perfect.
For no anchovies on the pizza.
I'm sorry, but it's just crust and anchovies, Dave. You're out of luck. So, I don't have a cute little joke to start the sermon with this morning, so I thought maybe I'd just do a little dance. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I really don't dance, so forget it. So what you are going to see this morning is, this is a small little combination lock, of course. That's what it is. And by using something so small, I'm going to hopefully present how great of an analogy that it shows for each of us. So let's start this morning with Romans chapter 5, pick up in verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness and the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. What this is saying, even though people weren't directly involved in Adam's sin, a sinful nature for mankind was derived through him, right? And it led to death until God's law came in and the commandments came through Moses. Listen, God speaking through Moses and through David. Exodus 18:20 and 1 Kings 2:3. Teach them the statutes and the laws and make known to them the way in which they are to walk and the work they are to do. Keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, his testimonies, and according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn. When God released Israel from the oppression of Egypt, he laid down his laws, he laid down his commandments, he laid down his statutes, and he said, this is how it is, and I want you to obey what I'm laying down here, and I want you to follow. And he charged that those who did obey and did learn and did follow will succeed. They'll succeed in whatever they do, knowing how to walk as God wanted everybody to walk, how he desires up until to this day to have everyone walk in his ways, in obedience to God. That's what his desire is. And though many things have changed, and only by God's will and God's ways have things changed, his statutes, his commands, they all apply to us today. They really do. So, as we look at Romans 7:14, it says, I am of flesh, sold in to bondage to sin. Until we come to know God and his will, we're still under that bondage, guys. We're still under that bondage. There's a whole bunch of things Israel had to do to please God. The sacrifices, everything they had to do. You can go through the Old Testament, and especially the book of Leviticus, and you can see what they had to do, and what they had to do, and what they had to do. So, thanks be to God that Jesus made it a whole lot easier for us, right? He made it so easy for us. He gave us an example. Matthew 22:36 says, somebody asked him, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus answered. He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Through Jesus, God took everything that he commanded and everything he wanted those people to follow. He took it all and he shoved it down into this little box and he said, here, this is all you have to do. Shoved it down into two little commandments right there. But those two commandments, simple as they are, they cover everything. We have it right there. On these two commandments, this is Jesus himself saying, this is God telling us right here, these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Pretty much covers everything, right? Amen. Jesus did that. So the very first part of our small analogy today is learning about God and all he desires. That's the first step in unlocking. That's the first step. It's getting to know God. They know who he is, what he's done. Now, let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. They came futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. As we fast forward through the Old Testament and God's pleading and his desire for mankind, right? Nobody wanted to pay attention to him. So many fell away from truly following God. So God, in his infinite wisdom, gave us a plan B. So let's call it plan J instead. Because it's Jesus. It's all about Jesus, right? I encourage you to read the whole thing, but we're going to look at a couple verses from Hebrews here. So, and that's on your sheets there. Hebrews 8, 7, 12, and 13. Excuse me. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second. For finding fault with them. This is where we got to stop for a second, all right? God said, here's my statutes, here's my laws, here's my commands. I want you to be obedient. And the people at first were like, yay, God, we're going to be obedient. And over time, what happened? Things started to fall apart and started to fall apart. But God said, hey, everything I laid down is perfect. You got the problem. And it says right there, finding fault with them. Because we wanted to go our own way, right? We want to be our own God, put it that way. That's what they were doing back then. He says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. For I will be merciful to their iniquities. I will remember their sins no more. When he said a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. But whatever is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to disappear. The Hebrew writer quoted this from the book of Jeremiah. So what God said back in Jeremiah, he said the same thing in the New Testament here to the Hebrew writer. Simply put, back then, God's first covenant, God said, this is how it is. And mankind said, in the futile wisdom of mankind, said, well, we like it better our way. We're just happy to do things our way. And God said, no, okay, now you got a problem. And we can go through the Bible and we can see God's wrath. We can see how God dealt with people that rebelled against him. We can see all that. So, in this new covenant, which we're going to call Plan J, because I think that's a really cool name, Jesus is sent. Let's go to a very familiar John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Very easily, God could have pronounced a destructive judgment upon us. Very easily. But by the incredible love that God showed through Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said? You know, he's standing there and said, I can call down 12 legions of angels and wipe all you people out if I so desire. But then he calmed down. He said, that's not what I desire. I came to save you. And that's what he did. What an incredible, incredible Savior. God sent heaven's best to die on our behalf, to release us from the bondage of sin and bring us into his kingdom. Two scriptures together, John 6:38 and 10:10. Jesus said, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Let that sink in first. I have come down from heaven. Think about when we think about the glory that we're going to be returning to, and we think it's got to be so spectacular, right? Jesus left that so spectacular, and he came here. He came down here. To do God's will. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Abundantly. So the second part of our small analogy today is learning about Jesus and all he's done. This is the second step to unlocking the bondage to sin that we are in. Now, listen to Jesus himself speaking. We're going to back up in the book of John, same chapter 6, verses 3, 5, and 6. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." Two repeated words. What do I always say when God repeats things?
Pay attention.
Well, there you go. Thank you. I'm glad somebody said it. He's stressing a point, a very, very important point. Okay? And really, these verses right here, it's almost a back-to-back verses that God is stressing two words. Unless, cannot. Unless you do this, you cannot have that. Remember growing up? Unless you eat your vegetables, you ain't watching TV. Mom, that's how it is. God is saying this is how it is. Unless you do this, you cannot have that. Not my words, those are God's right there. Okay? God is begging and he's pleading. Why should God have to plead for us? He died for us. He's given us everything. He continues to give and to give and to give. But he pleads with us. Come to know me. Get to know my son. I'm begging you people. I've given you and given and given and given and given. Just begging you people to come. Listen to me. Listen to my calling. Hear what I have to say. Let's add this verse in. Matthew, excuse me, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Listen, church, I know I stress a whole bunch about baptism, but these aren't my words. They're God's commands. And in that command that God laid down, he's pleading with people. He desires everyone to come to him. You know, two little words, unless and cannot. You know, by themselves, they really, you know, they're important. They mean things. But when you combine them, that's where the power lies. That's where the point God making is. Right there. Unless you do this, you cannot have that. I'm God. You're not. This is how it is. Okay, I put up with you under the first covenant. I put up with you people. I sent you Plan J. And I'm still putting up with you people. And he's still pleading and pleading. And we just read that Jesus has all authority, right? He has the right to command. That's all authority. And he says right there, observe all that I command you. Did you ever see the word suggest in the Bible? You know, did you ever see that word in there? Jesus said, "I suggest you do this." In a way, he's saying that. All right? Because unless you do this, you cannot be mine. Okay? But it's a command. So we're still locked into that bondage of sin. We really are, unless we pay attention to God. Now, paying attention to his commands, let's go to some very familiar verses. Very, very familiar verses. Acts 2, 38 and 39. "Repent, each one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." So, right here, the third part of our little analogy right here, receiving all the free gifts, the free gift of the Holy Spirit, this is what happens when we do that. The bond of sin is broken. It's broken. We have freedom in Christ. Isn't that awesome? Freedom. Let's read some verses. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, 11 and 14. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Underline that. Write it on your forehead backwards so you can see it every time you look in the mirror. That is a powerful, powerful verse. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. For all who are being led by the spirit of God, these are sons of God. Awesome stuff, right, church?
Yes.
Awesome stuff, right?
Right.
Absolutely, absolutely. Freedom right here. Freedom. Complete freedom in Jesus. But listen, guys, that's not the end of the story. That is not the end of the story. Let's go to John chapter 10. Pick up in verse 27. Jesus himself said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. My sheep know that I said, unless you do this, you cannot have that." And he said, that's following my voice right there, right? Hearing his voice, following his commands, and now belonging to him. Continue on, verse 28. I give eternal life to them. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. I and the Father are one. Look, church. Look, church, what happens when we're in Jesus Christ? Okay? God locks us in. Jesus locks us in. The Holy Spirit locks us in. And there ain't no letting go. God will not let us go. He will not. He will not. Once you commit to belonging to Jesus Christ, you're held by the power of God. Nothing is ever going to take that away from you. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Once you're baptized into Jesus Christ, I mean, once you are truly baptized, and let me stress that word once. Once you are truly baptized into Jesus Christ, the only way, and I do stress the only way, is for yourself to pry God's fingers apart and jump out of his hand and run back into the world. That is the only way God is ever going to let you go. And when you do that, even if you do that, what's God's reaction? Those arms won't close. Those arms are going to be waiting for you to come back. This is the powerful love that we have through God. You know, and being in Jesus Christ, we've already fulfilled the unless cannot thing. Being in Jesus Christ. Commit to God. All right? Just commit to God. Let me end here with Romans 6:22. But now, having been freed from sin, okay, we saw the unlocking part, right? Now, enslaved to God. What's enslaved to God mean? Ain't letting you go. I'm not letting you go. You derive your benefit resulting in sanctification. What's the outcome that Jesus is telling us about? Eternal life. Eternal life. So awesome, church. God unlocks us from the bondage of sin. And once we have that freedom and we get into Jesus Christ, what does he do? He locks us right back into his kingdom. Okay? He takes us from the bad and he gives us the best. What an amazing God we have. What the power of his love over us. Incredible. Incredible to think about, really. And the whole reason that we were created, bottom line, God said to belong to me. That's the whole bottom line. So we have a choice. We can go our own way or we can go God's way. There's only two choices. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we're so blessed and so very thankful for the extreme blessing of Jesus Christ. Everything that he's done, everything he continues to do. And Father God, we're just sitting here with our jaws on the floor because we just can't understand that kind of love, that depth of love. We're so blessed and so thankful that so willingly you gave it to us. We have so much in Jesus Christ, more than we even know. And the glory that Jesus left, Jesus himself promised that he would take us to that glory. Ain't nothing here worth it, God. There's not one thing on this earth that is worth trading in for the glory that is in heaven. Just ask, Father God, your continued blessings in our lives. Strengthen us to stand strong in Jesus and for Jesus. And we're just so blessed and so thankful, Father, because you've really, the arms that you've locked us into, those arms just will not let us go. It's always in his name we pray. Amen. If there's anything we can do for anyone to get closer to Jesus, come as we stand and sing.